May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Today is World Communion Sunday. It is one of the most hopefully titled ecumenical observations ever. The whole world in communion. A version of it was started back in 1933 by a Presbyterian church named, of all things, Shadyside. It is still tagged to be celebrated the first Sunday in October. Even in this world, taking sides and taking names. World Take to Your Corner Sunday may be a better description of our actual state of being, but it is not the hope to which we attain. Though our faith is tried and tested in every way possible, the hope to which we attain is rooted, anchored in communion and community with Christ at the very center. So you all know that communion in general means fellowship, mutual participation, sharing. And into communion, people are invited, but so much gets in the way. Sometimes the laws we make for ourselves and churches and our country and our own lives, the rules we make, get in the way of communion. Sometimes the things we do, our practices, get in the way. And so today, Jesus calls us to be faithful to the law of God's love, the ample communion of God's grace. So I want to share with you a couple of stories about strangely beautiful communion. Archbishop Romero will become the first official Roman Catholic saint from El Salvador next Sunday. I know many of you are on your toes about that. You're just really excited. I am, because of my familial ties. Pope Francis is naming Archbishop Romero a saint in the Vatican on October 14th. And I will be there leading an ecumenical delegation with my husband, Elmer. Elmer, like Archbishop Romero, is from El Salvador, but has not yet been named a saint. Emphasis on the yet. I'm making a strong case for him. Elmer served with Archbishop Romero as a youth leader in El Salvador, and it was a very violent and troubling time. Elmer's father and Archbishop Romero were killed in El Salvador on the same day, March 24, 1980. One shot through the heart while saying communion, one shot on the street seeking community. The day before all that, on March 23rd, 1980, in the Sacred Heart Basilica in San Salvador, an Episcopal priest, Father Bill Whiffler, was kneeling down praying. Communion had just been given to the entire Roman Catholic congregation. Father Whiffler, the Episcopal priest, was in the pews, and out of respect for canon law of the Roman Catholic Church, he had not gotten up to take communion, to receive something that he longed for. He had listened to scripture, he had listened to the sermon, he had listened to the communion prayer, and he kneeled, staying put, while others moved forward. When everyone else in that church that day had received communion, he kept praying. But then he felt, he noticed someone was standing right beside him. And it was Archbishop Romero inviting the Episcopal priest to receive communion, which he did. Romero knew that it was prohibited to give communion to those who are not Roman Catholic, except in extremely specific circumstances, but back then, in no circumstance. Prohibited to give communion to those who are not Roman Catholic, maybe especially Episcopalian. But he followed the law of God's love and the ample communion of God's grace. He saw a person in need of Christ, and he shared. He related. Reverend Bill Whiffler died last Saturday, and I've been thinking a lot about him. I heard the story about getting communion from the Roman Catholic saint, directly from Father Whiffler himself. And I've always thought it a moving story, that act of relationship, of charity, of sharing. Bill Whiffler was an intellectually gifted man with many accomplishments in many areas of life. But what I actually remember most about him was how he tended to, how he cared for, how he supported his sick wife at an anniversary celebration of the Episcopal Church in the Dominican Republic, in which we both participated. When I met him some time ago at that event, it was a celebration of the Episcopal Church being in the Dominican Republic, and I met him there, and my father introduced us. He was a good friend of my dad's, and Father Whiffler was there with his wife. She was suffering from Alzheimer's, which was progressing steadily. At a dinner one night, he attended to her so lovingly, so carefully, so tenderly, even as she wandered away and interrupted everything, that I thought, now that is true communion. What better way to attend to the law of God's love, the ample communion of God's grace, than to care for those, to stay in relationship with those who have become extremely inconvenient? In the gospel today, Mark sets up this scene. Some Pharisees came and to test him said, "Is it lawful?" Did you catch that phrase, "Is it lawful?" a commentator asks. Did you catch it? This isn't a casual conversation about love, marriage, and divorce. It's a test, he says. Moreover, it's not even a test about divorce, but about the law of God's love. There were several competing schools of thought about the legality of divorce. Not so much about whether divorce was legal, everyone agreed upon that, but rather under what circumstances. So he says that Jesus deflects their question away from the matters of the law and turns it instead to relationship, and in particular to God's hope that our relationships are more than legal matters, but instead help us to have and share more abundant life, to share in God's ample communion of grace. So he says that the law is meant to protect the vulnerable and hurting. And every time we use it for another purpose, we are twisting the Creator's plan and indeed violating it in spirit, if not in letter. So Jesus is inviting us to imagine communities centered in and on real relationships, relationships founded on love and mutual dependence, fostered by respect and dignity, and pursued for the sake of the health of the community and the protection of the vulnerable. Communities based on God's ample grace. The question asked in Prodigal Daughter is this: what's to be done with a prodigal son? And the answer is long and painful. Welcome him home with open arms, throw a big party, invite your friends, our boys come back home. But when a girl comes home with the oats he's sown, it's draw your shades and your shutters. She's bringing such shame to the family name, the return of the prodigal daughter. Look, here comes the prodigal son, fetch him a tall drink of water. But there's none in the cup, because he drank it all up, left for the prodigal daughter. We can do better than that. We can do better than casting away those who are inconvenient with a mentality of scarcity, with the tribalism that divides and hurts and wounds our world, that is an obstacle to communion. The law of God's love extends beyond our prejudices and myopia. It works through our amazing inclusivity and kindness and equal opportunity compassion to a world where prodigal sons and daughters are welcomed home with celebration and joy and a new beginning. And this ample communion of grace will invigorate our vision of what is possible in this beautiful world that God made. Even when we scar it, God brings new life, new blossoms, new hope. Wendell Berry, in his book, New Collected Poems, wrote a poem that was a letter to his brother, and in it he says, "Dear John, you said, treat your worst enemies as if they could become your best friends. You were not the first to perpetrate such an outrage, but you were right." So God invites us now to stand beside those outside of our tribes, those longing for inclusion. Invites us to share the air, our meals, bread and wine with those who have become somehow inconvenient to us. Jesus invites us to find forgiveness and resurrection for men and women in this world that hurts us both. Staying faithful to the law of God's love, we're invited to keep reaching out to the worst and the best, enemies and friends, inviting each other into the ample communion of God's grace. And there we will find a community of integrity, a community loved unconditionally by God. Amen.